Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're locked on Fast Break Friday on the V Show.
Presented by AL81.
LA, the suffering of tomorrow. LA, a new kind of taste. LA, the suffering of tomorrow. LA, it's from another place.
Crisp, clean, LA.
Bang. Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV network.
Welcome, it is Fast Break Friday, presented by L8, Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926. Glad to be able to spend some of your Friday with you. This first hour goes out to on the network to our friends in Lexington as well, so we appreciate them being part of our network, and we'll have Mark Story to join us at 12:30. Locally here in Louisville at 105, Pat Kelsey will join us. Let's talk to the new Louisville coach, and we're looking forward to speaking with him. I think what some people may have got a little ahead of their skis yesterday about
the Clayton's kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But in defense of the fan base.
No, I'm not. I was talking about it too. People that do this for a living were saying.
I think they had got three crystal balls on 24/7, and it will say like 60% Louisville, but when you look at the UK ones, they're from November. So, yeah, but. Yeah, no, it definitely got us, tricked us.
Jaden Quinn,
because he definitely did postpone it. He's going next week.
Well, he's also going to Arizona State this weekend. Yeah. So obviously he's still looking around.
I think the Brinks trucks are coming out for.
Well,
this
I think they're all in. You know, I think Louisville's still in the mix. I don't think he's ruled Louisville out, but it's not like it was a done deal. It's not like it might be. It still didn't matter. I mean, it does matter. That's a stupid thing to say. Of course, it does matter, but it still was a big day yesterday. No question about that. With the portal and the additions coming, and really looking forward to speaking with Pat about that, because it's obvious that they have really put together a type. They are looking for a type of player. And I want to talk a little bit about how he's identifying those guys and what the priority he's putting on. I did bring my notebook, by the way, because and some of these guys I got to be careful about asking, because the rule is, my understanding is, and I did want to know this, and Zach Greenwell helped me with this, because I certainly don't want to put a guy in a position or it's awkward and you know, or worse, he does something he's not supposed to do. You're not allowed to talk about recruits until they've signed with your program. They can make a verbal commitment to you, but until they've signed, you're not allowed to discuss them publicly. So I was like, well, what's the policy for portal guys? Because there is no national letter of intent for them. And so, it's if they've signed their financial aid paperwork, essentially the money situation with NIL and all the financial part of it. And I don't know which of these guys have or hasn't, so I'll tread carefully there. I'm still very impressed with the types of players. I talked on yesterday's show, the Washington game with Arizona, and we talked a little bit about Akorn Johnson, who had a big game that game. He had three three-pointers. He had 17 points. Well, the guy that we just found out yesterday, Chucky Hepburn, I had Wisconsin against Illinois, so another game against a high caliber team, and
Oh my God, Nick! I almost forgot to turn off your mic.
Oh, that's okay.
I didn't even see him sneak in.
Sneaky, sir.
He had a fine game as well. He had two threes. He had 2, 4, 7, 8, 10, 13, 15 points. And he, when I was talking to Greg Gard before the game, he said, regarding Chucky Hepburn, his scoring was down, but his winning is up. I like that. That was a great friend. And that's what you want out of your point guard. Guy who averages about 3.5 assists to turnovers. But so, my goodness, that is exactly the kind of guy that this team needs. So, and that it seems to be kind of a mindset of almost every position that they brought a guy in. They are willing and effective passers. And those are, God, those teams are fun to watch. And they shoot it. So you better be able to shoot it, and you better be able to pass it if you're going to play here. Hepburn went through a stretch when I was doing the game with Illinois. He had played seven. He was playing like 32 minutes a game, too. He played seven consecutive games without making a turnover.
That's pretty impressive, number. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be fun to talk with Coach about his philosophy and the kinds of players he's bringing in. And, that's the difference between – and obviously, you just want to get good players. I don't care. High school kids, junior college kids, Asian kids, European kids, South American kids, whatever. But it's funner, again, make my own word up, when it's portal guys from the Power Six, because it's a chance I've done their games, which, you know, is different. I don't see the high school kids and the recruits, and I certainly don't. I'm not Fran Fraschilla. I'm not out wired into the
European
Euro ball. So.
An international, right?
This is great fun. So we'll see how it plays out. So I don't think there's any other portal news today.
Not that I've seen, no.
So
the latest thing in terms of roster is that still from yesterday, Jaden Quaintance, the former UK commit, is trending towards U of L.
Tread lightly, tread lightly.
Yes.
We don't want to jinx anything.
We don't want to jinx
well,
it.
We are really getting over our skis a bit. He's going to Arizona State, and he hasn't canceled his trip to Memphis.
No. I'm just saying, but Trilly Donovan, who has a pretty high percentage in predicting players, is saying that he thinks JQ will be going to U of L. I believe 247 has a crystal ball.
So is this
saying that
Trilly thing? Is this on his Discord?
This was on his Discord.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everyone kept talking about it yesterday. I'm like, looking on his Twitter, I'm like, yeah, I don't see anything, guys.
Yeah, no. On his Discord.
Right? Gotcha.
So there you go. So we'll see how it plays out. So again, latest guy for the Cards, Chucky Hepburn, very impressed. That's a mega significant get. This is a guy who is a point guard but can make some shots and can score the ball a little bit. Digging that. Of course, I'm just going by the list. Ali Khalifa, who is going to redshirt this year from BYU, big man. James Scott will play this year, coming from Charleston. Abubakar Traore, who is a it's not really fair. If you watch the highlight films of just about anybody,
yeah, they look,
you're
going to
see
but
some spectacular plays. But he's built like a brick spit house, and he's
right.
He's impressive. He's impressive. Physical specimen, and again comes from winning teams. Where do they come from? Chucky Hepburn, Wisconsin, winning program. Khalifa, BYU, winning program. Scott coming from Charleston, winning program. Traore from Long Beach went to the NCAA tournament, Long Beach State. Rain Smith, great shooter, also from Charleston, another winning program. Javon Hadley from Colorado, winning program. And Terrence Edwards, player of the year in one of the surprise teams, 30-win team at James Madison. That's really, really significant. So they have put together quite a roster here of and I forgot Corin Johnson, who played on a winning Washington team. So what is that, eight guys? Is that eight?
Yeah.
But seven who will play because
right. Ali Khalifa is redshirting.
Ali's not going to play.
Right.
So they got seven, and then they have Hersey back. I think.
Yeah, Nate and McCool.
And McCool. So they'll have, he's got enough to start practice.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. So that's a very, very impressive start. And, I'll say this to him when he joins us, too. You know, when you have a guest on, you're always polite. Well, not always, but you should be. They're guests. You should be polite. And so you always say, thank you for joining us. When I say that to him today, it will be extremely sincere because he is. This guy's schedule is ridiculous now. I mean, seriously, it is. I know coaches work hard, but and I want to ask him about this. You know, he's been a head coach for a number of years now. There can't be any kind of a pre-year that equates to this. There's nothing like this where he's coming. Literally, I'm not sure they have any games scheduled, let alone other than, I mean, UK game is on the schedule, and I guess they play an ACC-SEC schedule, I think the ACC-SEC Challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, as somebody pointed out to me, you can bet your bottom dollar is going to be against
Arkansas.
I mean,
oh, I can't wait.
That'd be wild.
That is truly bizarro. So it's, you know, he has got to be just and just sprinting, just absolutely in a dead sprint each day. And so when I say I'm grateful he can take a few minutes out for us today, even to join us by phone.
You got to ask him what kind of coffee he drinks, because it's got to be the best brand ever. It's got to be like $1,000.
Or he's just naturally caffeinated.
Or, or then wow. Then we should all learn a few things.
I want to ask him, you know, I don't know if this would be rude. What's the deal with the glasses? That's what I want to know.
It's a style, yeah.
I know what's, but
you can't see.
I mean, we both wear glasses.
No, I know, but he's got the really...
Like the squints, kind of like...
Yeah, the black frames.
I want to ask him, is he making a fashion statement, or is he... Did somebody tell him, you'll look good in these, or he just says they're really comfortable?
He does rock them.
I was going
to
say...
I like him. I like him. But, you know, like there used to be an old comedian, there we go again, but there was a guy named
2 weeks ago.
Jack Benny, who was a comedian. As he got older, his eyes started to look older. So he has the Pat Kelsey glasses, because it would block a lot of the, Pat doesn't look old, so that can't be.
Kind of looks like the ones that Will Ferrell uses to mimic Harry Carey.
Maybe that's it. I would say it might be an homage to Harry Carey, except he's a Cincinnati Reds fan.
Yeah, that's a good point. Probably not.
Yeah, so I don't think
it's a safe bet. No.
Is Hersey still with the team? I think he is.
I haven't heard otherwise.
We can ask Pat that. I mean, that's not illegal. We can ask him that.
Yeah.
And McCool, I guess, the other two walk-ons, such as they are. So we'll see how it plays out. But I'm really impressed with the guy hitting the ground running. Just absolutely hitting the ground running. And I love the type of player he's bringing in. I just, having seen some of these guys and then comparing the guys who I have seen with the stat line of the guys I haven't seen, he wants guys who are going to be willing passers, who can shoot it. They're not going to have trouble spacing the floor. You better be able to rebound your position. I don't think he's going to have one guy that's going to be trying to get 16, 17 rebounds. Everybody's going to have to rebound, carry their share of the load there, and they better put an effort out at both ends. You better play hard defensively. And if you do that, you're going to be a fun team to watch, and you're going to be competitive right from the jump. And if you have guys that, as I said, are willing passers, have a teachable spirit, as our friend Paul Biancardi says, you know, you're going to have that, because you're going to have all new players acclimating to each other. But, again, watching these guys, I mean, that's a good example. The Chucky Hepburn kid, that's a perfect example. Because here's a guy who was very highly regarded there. I mean, he was a quote-unquote a star already in their program, and basically sacrificed some things of his own personal scoring this past year, because the scoring down, winning up. Ooh, man, love those guys. You got to love that. So, and for the people who are worried about, and I don't know that they were, but certainly looks like Louisville's done quite well in stocking its NIL.
Yeah, the coffers are rather.
Because if you heard the comments from Greg Gard, I mean, they lost A.J. Storr, who's another terrific player, and they lost Chucky. And he said, they asked him why, and maybe you can say, well, it's a little CYA, because, you know, how didn't you keep him? He said, well, the simple reason is because they got a raise. He said, and he took them to talk to the writers, and he said, if any of you guys could go somewhere and triple your salary, you think you're going? And, of course, they all nodded. He said, well, that's what it comes down to. So, obviously, if Louisville can stand in there, go toe-to-toe, and be doubling, tripling, or giving a significant increase to a very accomplished player from somewhere else, that certainly leads you to think they've done a pretty darn good job with their NIL, funding the NIL part of it. And that's a credit to Josh, certainly. You know, I make no bones about that. I'm a big fan of his, but I gauge by what I see. And the guy has I mean, he even to the point, like, I didn't, it's terrible, I didn't even know this, but, I mean, Zach Greenwell is the SID. I think he does a hell of a job. What an almost impossible task replacing or following Kenny Klein,
who best in the business.
Maybe the best SID ever in history. And Zach hasn't missed a beat. He's really good. And you know, Josh hired him. He fits the mold. There's a mindset that you talk about if you're going to have a good team. You got to have the type of player, you know. You got to have a type. You got to have a type of staff member, and I think they've got that on the coaching staff and the support staff. They're just really team oriented people, and it's really impressive. And so I just, you know, listen. You don't have to like everything about me, Nick, Tulio, Josh, anybody for that matter, but at least get it right. And for the people, like when the basketball search went on as much as it did, and made it sound like, well, he's just, you know, what the hell's he doing? He was researching guys from like the end of November. I mean, he was almost obsessed by it. He was calling people. I mean, he was working his ass off. It's not quite as easy as you seem to think it might be. And that wound up obviously with a very good candidate. And you know, and so it's. I just look at like the. Obviously, he's not doing it himself. They have people in charge of that. But the people they've got in charge of the NIL have done a pretty damn good job, evidently, if you look at who football's bringing in and who basketball's brought in. And they certainly look like they've done an effective job
there. Yeah, no, absolutely.
By the way, we didn't even talk at all yesterday.
About the football recruits?
About the draft.
Oh, yeah, NFL draft, yeah.
I mean, quarterbacks flying off the shelf.
Oh, yeah. There was a soundbite. What was it? Chris Ballard of the Colts told, like, Rich Eisen if they drafted, like, more than six quarterbacks by the time the Colts came to pick. I think they picked at, what, 15? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
That he would come on regularly with Rich Eisen. And sure enough, Rich Eisen was like, we got to talk, Chris.
Because yeah, they were six.
They were flying. The biggest story, obviously, Michael Penix to Atlanta after they dropped the bag for Kirk Cousins, and everyone's up in arms about that. That was probably the biggest story that came out of the draft.
I'm part of the minority from what I'm grasping from Twitter and all the sports media. I kind of like the pick with Penix going to Atlanta because
well they're going for the whole
the Jordan Love situation or yeah. Rodgers Love situation because Rodgers did the whole same thing too, like 3 or 4 years behind Favre. Now he's all right. Well, now he's running for presidency, but that's another story. But he was a great QB before he was a
presidential
politician.
Nomination. But as Mina Kimes points out, and it's on Awful Announcing. If you could find the clip, Tanner, maybe we could play it. But she makes a good point saying that based on the amount of money you spent on Kirk Cousins, it seemed very much like a win now situation. So why would you then be planning for the future with a Michael Penix as opposed to getting a player that can maybe have an impact and help you do just that, win now?
I have two-word response to you. Tony La Russa.
Okay.
I can't answer that. I'm a radio host who's having hard enough time trying to figure out the personnel for Louisville's roster and then who they're going to play. They don't even have a schedule. Not to mention, we're on Kentucky's market. What are they doing with their roster? Where's NIL going? Now I'm supposed to be able to give advice to a National Football League general
Arthur
manager
Company,
just in
yeah.
my part-time. Let me take a breath, have a sip of coffee. Now I'll tell an NFL GM that he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. So I don't know what the philosophy is. I really don't.
But I'm just going off of the people that it's their job, like Amina Kimes, to follow these things. And they're even scratching their head going, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I mean, you have the succession angle of, okay, now you have your quarterback in waiting in Michael Penix. But
okay, so maybe that's your answer.
Yeah, but it seems interesting in the sense that you're kind of deviating from a plan that...
But maybe you're not.
But wouldn't it make sense if you're trying to win now
yes,
to spend...
Yes, because in the National Football League where they're playing how many games? Like 70 games a year now. That you'd hardly ever... Who gets through the year with their quarterback intact for the whole season? How many quarterbacks played every game last year in the NFL? I'm going to say half, maybe.
Also, Kirk Cousins is coming off an Achilles injury.
And
that's
Kirk Cousins
fair.
Is coming
that's
off
fair.
An injury. So if you're thinking, hey, we have all the pieces to win now, but the one thing that could derail us is the guy takes a snap in the fourth series of the season. Oh, wait a minute. Who'd that happen? happened to? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the Jets.
And
right.
Then they played. They had to play Zach Dennis, the Menace's neighbor, Mr. Wilson. And yes. And so, you know, it was. So maybe they're looking at that and saying, well, that's not going to happen to us. At least we're going to get a kid in here we think can play.
And I don't
know, but I'm saying, I'm sure there's a reason behind it.
I thought he was one of the more, I agreed with the notion that Biscuit said that, you know, that he was one of the more underrated quarterbacks. Of course, I'm not an expert.
He's the most mature one, too. He's the oldest, I don't know about the oldest because him and Bo Nix, but he's been in, he was at Indiana, got hurt a bunch, goes to Washington for a couple of years. Makes it all the way to the championship. I think he's the most mature. I think I don't want to speak and have all the Caleb fans come out and be like, no, you're wrong. I think he's probably the most pro-ready.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think he was underrated because he was always ranked as, like, you know, towards the back end of all the first-round quarterbacks.
I was seeing more like him in the second round, which I could – I don't think he should have gone in top 10, but I didn't think – people are freaking out over him going first round. I do think...
You won, what, eighth?
Eighth overall. Yeah. I think Bo Nix going to, like, 12 or 13.
12.
That one really confused me because... Nix is not a first round.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of people said that Bo Nix was overrated and Michael Penix was underrated. That was kind of a notion that I was seeing from people follow it way more than me.
Maybe the Falcons follow Biscuit. On like a burner account. Like, dude, this guy's
on.
So they took six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. That's is that a record?
I don't know.
Yeah,
is it? Oh,
it
wow.
is. I don't think this QB draft was that good though.
Well, but again, how good was the rest of the draft? If you're going to have, you know,
I think a lot.
Let's say everybody. I'm making numbers up. Everybody is a 7 on the scale of 10. Everybody in the draft.
Right.
But what's the most important position on the field?
Quarterback.
So right. I might as well take a 7 who plays quarterback rather than a 7 who plays, you know, another position.
Corner or something.
Yes.
I think a lot of good D linemen, though, fell to. I think the Colts got Latu from UCLA. That kid's a beast. Another one. J.J. McCarthy going to the Vikings. That one also was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I knew the hype up. I knew he was going to get overdrafted because of the hype. Wow. But then they get on. They trade all their picks for next year, I think, too. The Vikings. And they get Dallas Turner, who fell to the down the draft because he was supposed to be what everyone thought was going to be the Falcons pick at 8 until they threw a whole wrench into it with Michael Penix.
And, yeah, I was going to say, the scrambling that happened after the Penix pick was
Dallas Turner, and me and Rummage actually just talked about it when you stepped out for a second. That kid lost like $10 million just because they wanted Penix. And then that led to all those QBs like...
Should go back to college. He'll make that in 2 years.
Yeah, right?
Something that you guys don't care about, but I do.
Okay.
Tony Khan.
You know exactly what I was going with. So there's the term in wrestling called kayfabe. Kayfabe is the storyline. Yes. So whatever the storyline is that's happening. So if Tanner and I are feuding in real life, we're friends, but we're feuding on TV. Kayfabe, we can't be in the same room together because we'll get into a fight. Okay. So Tony Khan, the son of Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, is the owner of AEW Wrestling. They just had an angle on Wednesday where the bad guys pile drive them. And
pile drive him?
Tony Khan. Yeah, Tony Khan took a bump. But they do it safely, obviously. But he was wearing a neck brace to sell the injury during the draft.
It's impressive.
So kayfabe is alive and well, ladies and gentlemen.
Texter makes a great... There you go. Texter bringing it home for you, draft expert. Falcons owner Arthur Blank at the Super Bowl talked about how ideally... they wanted to groom their next quarterback, and he mentioned what the Packers did with Jordan Love as an example. Said he knows it's not an easy thing to do, but the new Falcons coach, Raheem Morris, loves Penix.
Okay.
So you got a guy who loves Penix, you got an owner who wants that as your game plan, so why not?
Well, maybe it'll work out for them. I like Penix.
Oh, does this just happen? Is this just
some breaking news?
Is it newsy? Louisville... Former Louisville player Dennis Evans.
Oh, yeah. No,
transferring to Grand Canyon.
Yes.
What is this? The third player in 4 years? Iggy on Sidney Curry, now Dennis. I swear to God. Yeah, that is a fake school that is built to only take on our transfer. I'm kidding. There is a theory, though, that Grand Canyon is
a fake school. They have a wild, vapid fan base. They are crazy out there.
We played there once because Rick did it as a favor, scheduled the game as a favor.
To Dan Marley?
No, to Jerry Colangelo, who was helping them. Jerry Colangelo is the former NBA executive who lives out there from his time being in front office of the Phoenix Suns, and they returned the game, or they were going to return the game. There was some deal back and forth, but largely it was a favor of Jerry Colangelo, and Louisville won. But my God, it was. I got to admit, I was impressed with the place because it was maniacal.
Oh yeah, they were crazy.
And then the game ended, and they could not have been. Thanks for walking outside. Could not have been nicer.
Really?
Yes. Thank you for coming out and playing us, and it was great to have your team here. And not phony. Just really, they're just, you know, it's a very Christian school, which doesn't mean much, sorry. But, I mean, there are some of the meanest people I know advertise themselves as Christians. Sorry about that, but that's just true.
Right.
So my point behind that is it's not a carte blanche, well, everybody's great because they're at a Christian school. But these people were amazing. They weren't particularly rude during the game. They were just really boisterous and loud and supportive and tight. It's a small arena. It was a tough place to play. And, man, oh, man. And then you come out and they were like, hey, thanks. Hope you have a safe trip home. You know, it was like, wow.
They were actually... You know, Christian and friendly.
Yeah,
yes.
They lived
up to the mantra.
They were very impressive.
You should take a bottom of the hour break. We got Mark's story coming on.
Okay, well, then we'll do that. We'll take a bottom of the hour break, and then we'll have Mark's story coming on.
Fast Break Friday, presented by Elliott One, Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926. Peach flavors available now in stores like Kroger, my favorite soda ever.
The U of L Health orthopedic experts get you back in the game of life faster. We lead the state in robotic surgical procedures that minimize pain and recovery time. Our high-level care and customized surgeries treat everything from shoulders to toes, including spines. And as the official health provider for U of L Athletics, we give that same VIP care to every patient. That's the power of you. Visit uofllhealth.org.
Take a spin on up to 500 of the hottest games. Grab a bite to eat at one of the three restaurants or a souvenir at the Kentucky Derby gift shop. Watch, wager, and win with race and sports betting kiosks. Whether you want to get your night off to a hot start or give it a thrilling finish, Derby City Gaming Downtown is Louisville's hottest play. The First Turn Sports Bar is now open. Watch all the big games on the 21 big screen TVs in the new First Turn Sports Bar, 140 South 4th Street. For more details, visit derbycitygaming.com. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, this is Paul Rogers. Last summer, I suffered a pretty severe knee sprain, so of course, I called Ellison Bodenhausen Orthopedics right away. They have 24-hour appointments, often on the same day, with one of ENB's 11 certified orthopedic surgeons. Ellison Bodenhausen Orthopedics offers a year-round Monday morning walk-in clinic at their East Point, St. Matthews, and South End locations. This is open to all patients, no appointment is needed, and the hours are from 8 to 9:30 every Monday morning. ENB Orthopedics has four physician office locations, the East Point office off Old Henry Road, Dixie Highway, St. Matthews, that's in the Norton Women and Children's Hospital, and New Albany. ENB Orthopedics has five outpatient physical therapy clinics at East Point, Dixie Highway, St. Matthews, Fern Creek, and New Albany. To schedule an appointment with Ellison Bodenhausen Orthopedics, please call 502-587-1236 or visit their website at enbortho.com.
Don't sweat a swing and miss thanks to insurance tokens from BetMGM. Add an MLB wager to your bet slip and activate your bet insurance token. If your bet with the token applied doesn't hit, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to a specified maximum amount. That's another chance to step up to the plate and bet on the action out there on the diamond. Baseball is America's national pastime, and BetMGM's favorite pastime is making the sport even more amazing for fans. Whether you want to bet on a no-run first inning, try a signature bet, or take a home run prop, BetMGM has a loaded lineup for all nine innings all season long. Go to your BetMGM account today to claim your bet insurance token and get your stake back in bonus bets if your MLB wager using the token doesn't win. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks and official sports betting partner of MLB. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only, Kentucky only. Existing customer offer, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 18 and over only. Must be physically located in Kentucky. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
May the force of Kentuckiana's best entertainment value be with you all this week at Louisville Slugger Field. Thirsty Thursday is a wagon good time with $2 Miller Lite and the season's first dog night. Friday evening is Margarita Madness and Family 4-Pack Night, featuring four tickets, hats, hot dogs, and sodas with special pricing when you order in advance. And make plans today for this Saturday's ever-popular Star Wars Night as the Bats are giving away 2,000 lighted space swords and then take the field in Darth Maul jerseys. Post-game fireworks, too. For tickets and info, visit BatsBaseball.com.
Munceva into a hard screen, bobbles the dribble, Hancock goes after, can't get it, Blackshear does, gives to Siva, lobs it, and a slam power dunk by Harrell. And just like that, Louisville has the lead.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by AL81.
LA, the soft drink of tomorrow. LA, a new kind of taste. LA, subject
of
tomorrow, LA.
It's
from another place.
Crisp, clean, LA.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV network.
Well, here's a guy who likes to move it, but unfortunately he couldn't come on the air and move it with us because as we went to call him yesterday, quite literally at that 2 minutes before, everything went out here. We lost our phones. We lost our internet. We had electricity, but that didn't do us a whole lot of good. So we apologize, although I think he already knows about that. That was not anything of our doing, but still was an inconvenience. And so now Mark Story, nice enough to join us today. And then since we are simulcast in Lexington, it's particularly timely to get Mr. Story on. Mark, sorry about yesterday. It was literally we went to pick up the phone to call you, and everything went dead. Did you sabotage us? You didn't do that, did you?
I think it's just the force of my personality. Sometimes I overpower folks.
Yes, that's good. That's what you want. You want to have an electric personality come on as your guest, but you don't want him to knock you off the air. So glad you're back on today. What's shaking? What's shaking where you are? I mean, around here, Pat Kelsey is going to be our guest, by the way, in the next hour, has really hit the ground running. He had a little bit of a head start on Mark Pope. He didn't get the Omar Ballos of the transfer world, but he's got a type of player that's very impressive. And I can only speak for myself, but I'm impressed with the work he's done. Mark Pope's response to what Mark Pope has done in having to restock this Kentucky roster. What's going on in Lexington?
Well, I think Kelsey was hired on March 28th and Pope on April 12th, so head start. I too am impressed with what Louisville's done. I especially like the kid they got from JMU, Edwards. I think he's really good.
Yeah.
In terms of Kentucky, I think it's too soon to say. Obviously, they are basically rebuilding a roster completely from scratch. You assume that means they have their entire NIL budget is available, so I assume they're in good position to make things happen. And they've got three players. I think people are starting to get a little, anxious to see more people being added to that roster, and I anticipate that will happen. I think they're bringing in, I've read anywhere from between four and six players will be visiting over the weekend, transfer portal options, and presumably they'll be able to close the deal with some of those players, I would think.
I mean, talking to coaches and people involved with programs, this is literally, I knew we were in uncharted waters, but I had no idea how bizarre it is. It really is. I mean, Louisville's had a couple of players, one in basketball, one in football, who came, took NIL money and left before they ever set foot on the actual floor or field. And I guess that is, you know, now since anybody can leave anytime they want to, that's kind of what you're seeing, which is the agents, and, you know, I can't say I fault them in that regard. They're just doing their job. But if, you know, they're keeping tabs every day, and they're looking at, you know, at Mark Story Tech, and we just found out they lost an edge rusher in spring football. He blew out his ACL, and now they need an edge rusher, and all of a sudden you're selling guys, basically. You know, hey, listen, you know, I might have access for this guy and that guy, and would you be interested? And if that guy has just transferred to another school and you really want him, and you say, well, yeah, hell, we can match that offer and up it by 25-30%, the kid's free to leave. I think that's the area where they're going to have to make some legislative changes, don't you? Because that's going on. I mean, it's definitely going on, and I'm all for the freedom of movement of the players, but when you get guys who, if you're not going to make them employees, there at least has to be some sense of accountability, control with the players. I mean, because it's just craziness when a guy says, I'm coming, takes the money, and then leaves and has never actually played a minute for you. That seems bizarre to me. Mark, what say you?
Well, given that the courts have been pretty adamant, there can be no limitations on player movement. I'm not sure that's how you do it. Can you draw a contract where if you leave without playing, you have to pay the money back? I mean, I'm not sure what contractually can be drawn. That's one thing that interests me. You know, Bob, I'm pretty much I'm a capitalist in this system, and I'm pretty much with players on this.
Yep.
But you know, I wonder if, you know, in a sense of a market correction, if you have, you know, agents shopping players, you know, who take money and then never play, does that damage that agent and make, you know, their quote unquote clients less attractive to other schools? And does the market correct eventually in that way? You know, I'm not sure. The other thing that interests me about this particular moment is, as it relates to the transfer portal, is I assume we're in a money ball era where, you know, players' value is based somewhat on, you know, what it costs to bring them in.
Yep.
And that a player that, you know, may be really attractive to school A at $750,000 may not be attractive at all at $1.5 million. But, you know, since all that stuff is sort of, you know, out of our view, you know, it's hard to really know how to react or how to evaluate some of these recruiting decisions or transactions. So, yeah, you know, I've always liked, quote unquote, business, the business of sports. I've always been interested in that. So I find this really fascinating. I understand why the coaches, you know, I have some empathy for what they're dealing with, but ultimately, you know, as I've said, I tend to side with the players on these freedom issues.
You and I are very much alike in our viewpoints, so maybe that's why we have such a simpatico when you come on the show. But I agree with you. Everything you said, yeah, I'm all for the players, have freedom to move. But, you know, just because you have freedom to move doesn't mean I don't have to spend the rest of my career working at this radio station, but I can't just go across the street and start broadcasting. There is some control over that. There's non-compete clauses and things like that. And you're exactly right. I mean, I'm an employee, though. These kids are not employees, but there has to be some way to account for the movement of the players. It's just, I don't know. It's got to be better than this. You got to be able to give them, maybe I'm trying to have somebody just be a little bit pregnant. I don't know. But you got to be able to give them all the freedom to move. But I think there has to be some sense of accountability. This doesn't seem sustainable to me. But, you know, you had brought this up. I've actually quoted you on this a number of times. You said all these things that we're saying, like, this is not sustainable, or this is not, you know, that this, or this is not that. How do we know? we've never done this before. This is all first time stuff. So people talking so authoritatively, like, well, we'll never be able to continue this. How do you know? So I believe that you said that. If you didn't, I'm still giving you credit for it, because I think that's
I did say that, and I think that's true. And I also think if it's not sustainable, then I think people will adjust. If it turns out that, you know, you can't tap your boosters over and over for this level of money, people, either the costs of what schools are willing to spend will come down, or they'll come up with a system, you know, where the schools are more directly paying the players, which seems to be what a lot of people think is going to come. I have mixed emotions about that, but, you know, maybe that would bring some of the stability you mentioned. I mean, the issue you raise of people, you know, basically collecting money someplace and then not doing anything to earn the money, you know, that. There's that obviously that is seems kind of dishonorable. But, you know, other than the system, you know, like schools deciding, okay, we're not going to deal with this agent. You know, this agent, you know, has a bad reputation, so maybe schools are less going to value the people associated with him. You know, they will value them less. You know, I'm not sure beyond a market correction what you can do about that.
No, I agree. I mean, the thing that – here's the only caveat I'll give to that whole discussion, and that is that let's assume everything you said is true, and I think, frankly, it by and large is true. If the shakeout – the result of the shakeout, which is what it would be, is that, like you said, well, if this is the way it's going to be, then you're going to have to, you know, figure out, can you is there a way you can adjust and so you can keep doing this? Or, you know, before we just declare, oh, there's no way you're going to be able to maintain this, well, maybe you can. But if the price of maintaining it is that half of the teams that compete at the very highest level say, well, the hell with this, we're not doing that anymore, I don't know if that's good for the game. You know, that's what I think is legitimate concern, is that programs that you think have, you say, wow, that team had a really good program. They may at some point their board of trustees may just say, you know what, if this is the cost of doing business, we ain't doing it anymore. And if that's the case, as a fan, you'll see some of your best teams very, very seriously altered. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Do you?
No, I don't. Although I don't know that that has as much to do with the players and NIL as the TV networks. That, to me, seems to be what is driven kind of this winnowing, that just ongoing winnowing where they concentrate the best brands in basically two conferences,
yep,
and everybody else is sort of, to some degree, cut adrift.
Yep.
I mean, that, to me, is more the television networks, the conferences, and kind of the school administrations for going along with it. To me, that's a bigger threat to the college sports and what you were talking about in terms of, you know, losing, you know, teams at the highest level. You know, to me, that's a far bigger threat than, you know, what the players are doing.
Yeah, I agree. Mark Story's with us here, Lexington Herald leader, and for those of you listening in on our Fast Break Friday network, wherever you are, and especially in Lexington, some UK notes. What make you of DJ Wagner, who in some ways people pointed to as a, you know, he's not lived up to the expectations, and others who say they're dumping a lot of the blame at his feet and it's not really fair. And then you go around the bend, they say, well, he may still be a good player, but he was probably the fourth best guard on this team last year, and that's not how he was projected to be, and now he's in the portal. And so what of DJ in your mind?
You know, that's an interesting question. I've not heard really anything about him in terms of speculation of what he's doing since he went into the portal. I think we all, or I assumed he would go to Arkansas, but I haven't heard, I mean, and that may well happen, but I haven't heard that. You know, he was the fourth best guard on that team last year, and that's really not that great a slight because the other three guards were really good. And, you know, I think, you know, in his case, he came in, probably didn't play to his level of recruiting hype, but he was a good player when he was healthy, especially. And, you know, I think, you know, with a second year, I think he has a chance to take a big step up. I'm still pretty optimistic on him, even acknowledging that, you know, he was the fourth best guard. But that's, to me, less an indictment of him as just how good the other three guards played.
Is there, forgive me for not knowing Kentucky's roster as well as I should to do this interview with you, but I'm fairly certain, just from observation and hearing very, very second and third and fourth hand, that Pat Kelsey really didn't have a lot of zeal to try and keep any of the players who were here. I mean, there may have been one or two that he kind of, but really, I don't know that he really pushed very hard for. I'll probably ask him that, as a matter of fact. But my point is, how has Mark Pope played it? Are there guys, has he tried to get guys to come back? Is he accepting it's just cleaning house? What's going on in terms of how he sees what's happening there with the roster?
Well, we know he met with a couple of the players because they mentioned that. And he may have met with all the returning players who would meet with him. That's actually a question that I'm not clear on. I think the expectation, you know, at least my expectation, was whenever John Calipari and the University of Kentucky parted ways under whatever circumstances, that you were going to be left with no players. I just think the model, the way the program was modeled, you know, it just that was just going to be the reality of it. So in a sense, I think Kentucky is lucky that they're in this era where, as we've discussed, you know, you can completely free transfers. They're also lucky that they're still within the window of the free extra COVID year, because that increases the talent pool available of experienced players. So in that, in those senses, Kentucky was lucky that this happened when it did. You know, of the players who were on the roster last year, I thought the guys who would have fit best in Mark Pope's system, you know, obviously would have been, you know, Rob Dillingham was in the port, was in, had declared for the draft, I think, before Mark Pope was hired, so that was not realistic. You know, Reed Shepard would have been terrific, although I don't think anybody, by the time he made his decision, I think everybody knew he was going to go pro. You know, I thought Devonavir Avisic would have been unbelievable in Mark Pope's system. He plays five out and runs a lot of his offense, or at least last year ran a lot of his offense through his center in terms of passing. And I think Big Z would have been really good in that system. And I thought Adu Thierro would have been a good fit in the system, partially because he would have gotten to, you know, practice the one thing he needs to practice on, which is a consistent three-point shot. If he develops that, he, I think, has a long NBA career ahead of him as a D and three guy. I thought those two of the guys who probably are going to be in college basketball last year or next year would have been the best fits.
Let me ask you, shift gears before we let you go. We've only got a couple of minutes left, but I'm not sure that anywhere in the country, actually, I was going to say around here, but anywhere, that there's been more interest in women's basketball than there is right now at the college level, and now it's going to translate apparently to the WNBA. And you wrote a piece, in 1 month, Kenny Brooks has changed Kentucky in two ways. I got to admit, I do follow women's basketball to some degree, but I was not that familiar with him, even though he was in our league, in Louisville's league, as a, the head coach at Virginia Tech. But it's not like Kentucky's had no success in women's basketball. They certainly have had more than their share. They've had some good teams. But you talked about how he's changed UK women's basketball. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's two ways that he's made pretty dramatic changes at Kentucky, and this is literally his one-month anniversary. And he's now the senior head basketball coach at the University of Kentucky.
Right.
But, you know, he, Kentucky, partially out of a stylistic choice, has never been able or hasn't been able to recruit height in decades. I mean, they, you know, when Matthew Mitchell had this thing going, when they went to, you know, three Elite Eights in 4 years and won the 2012, I think, SEC regular season title, and, you know, played in five Sweet 16s between 2010 and 2016. They were pressing, and it was a guard-oriented thing, and that identity, even after they stopped, sort of stopped playing that way, that identity sort of stayed with them, and they haven't been able to recruit height. Well, you know, Brooks, since he's been here, has added 6'7", 6'5", 6'4", 6'3", 6'2", 6'1". And I looked it up, and Kentucky hadn't had a player who stood 6'5" since 2016. It'd been a long time. So that is a humongous change, and it's going to be reflected in, you know, how they play. It's going to be a very different style than people have associated with Kentucky. The other thing he's been able to do, you know, they have nine players on that roster right now. Three of them are international players, including Georgia Amor, who, the All-America point guard, who's Australian, who came with him from Virginia Tech. And I think in women's basketball, the ability to recruit internationally is incredibly important. There are not enough high-level American players sort of to go around, and those kind of players tend to congregate at sort of the same old schools. And one way you can compensate for that is you can get that level of player from overseas. So I think that that's a big change he's already been able to make here. One of the international players he's got is a 6'7" Portuguese girl named Clara Silva, who is incredibly well-regarded. So, you know, those are the two big changes I think he's made in his first month as Kentucky coach.
You go by his roster, like you just said. It sounded like you were doing the final scores of a tennis match. 6'7", 6'4", 6'4", 6'3". So, yeah, it was very, very different. Hey, buddy, I'd say happy Derby, but we'll have you hopefully on one more time before the actual race. So happy pre-Derby week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right, Mark Story with us here, and we appreciate him taking some time with us. That's a tall women's team there, man.
Yeah.
Did you see the two women for the Indiana Fever playing two-on-two against the two guys?
No.
Kind of lighting them up, to be honest
really?
With you. Yeah. but because there was the guy who was the cornerback. Now, in fairness to this guy, he was a hell of a player, apparently. The cornerback at Iowa.
Okay.
Because I guess people knew he was a hell of a basketball player in high school. People
Cooper DeJean.
Is that his name? Yeah. They would constantly ask him, do you think you could beat... I mean, that's kind of interesting, this woman. They're asking football players at Iowa, could you think you could beat Caitlin Clark on one-on-one? And he was like, yeah, I definitely could beat her one-on-one.
And...
And that's it. So that's what he said. And he said, but then people like, you know, like, get off your high horse. You, but then you look at him in high school, and the guy.
Yeah, he was a baller.
He was a stud. But and he is obviously a
great athlete. Bigger
and stronger than she is. I mean, she just is. But you watched them. She was playing with the other. What's the girl's game? The other girl from the Pace Indiana Fever, who was the number one pick the year before. Is her name Boston? Is that her name?
Yeah. From she played for South Carolina.
Yeah. They're playing 2-on-2 against these guys, and you're just undressing them.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty cool, actually.
Oh, the WNBA has a chance to, if they can capitalize on these
stars.
I'll
be honest with you. I would make the trek up I-65 to see one of their games.
Yeah, I would too.
I really would. I think that would be very interesting to see in person. So we'll see. Good for them. Good for the women. Got it going. But not so good for the boys. The Knicks went down. You know,
Joel Embiid 50 last night.
Well, the Knicks stole one from them in game two at Madison Square Garden. The Knicks were down, I think, like 5 in the last minute and pressed and stole the ball. And then
Dante DiVincenzo
made a ridiculous three. And
two of them,
They wound up winning. So they're up 2-1. And afterwards, Embiid pissed off, understandably, because I'm sure they felt like they had the game won. So we're going to win this series. And then... You know, when a guy says that, he either comes out the next night and he has like 4 points and 2 rebounds,
right?
Or he does what Embiid did, where he went out of his mind.
Oh no,
50 points, and I don't even know how many rebounds he had. But
I saw a stat; it was the lowest amount of free throws like attempted by a player to get 50 points.
Really?
And it was like the lowest since Bob Cousy in like 53.
My God, I'm surprised the Knicks wouldn't. Well, they probably don't have the manpower to beat him up because they're not deep. So if they get in foul trouble, but he lit it up. And so I don't know. Maybe he's going to be Mark Messier and Joe Namath and all these guys. I guarantee. Maybe they're going to come back and win it because DiVincenzo playing in front of his quote unquote hometown people in Philly. Half the Knicks roster is Villanova.
Yeah, I was about
players.
To say Brunson, him
after a tremendously big game in game two. He had 5.
Yeah,
uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco.
Brunson at 39. Brunson had a good night.
Up. Yeah. So it's interesting.
Maxie, I think, had 25 or 26.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
But that's turned into a good series. The Lakers are cooked, done, lose at home to Denver. They can't beat Denver. People thought they might have a dark horse run in them. They won the regular season tournament.
Right.
No, sir.
No, sir.
Yeah. So
Rangers. Caps tonight, game 3.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out as well.
Is it 3-0 or is it 2-0?
2-0,
2-0,
yeah.
Rangier, baby.
And the Canes, handled the Isles last night,
Hey, by the way, we're getting out of here right now because if you tell Pat Kelsey 105, I'm telling you, do not call him at 106.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
So we are getting out of here and make sure we are ready to call him at 105.
So with that, we will bid adieu to our friends in Lexington.
Yes.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Fast Break Friday presented by AL81, Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926. Go to stores like Kroger. They have their new seasonal flavor peach available. It's my favorite soda. We will head out of here. And locally here,
I don't know how many commercials you got logged into, but make sure we ain't going past 105. I'm telling you.
Yeah, no,
I just know, not in a bad way, but if he says I'll meet you at 127, he means 127, not 125, not 130.
Right.
That's how he goes. That's why he can do 17 trillion things a day.
Right.
So we'll have him at 105. It's going to be 105.
The V Show. Look at us being on time.
Yeah, you can scare us into it
This is groundbreaking.
Yeah,
this is wild for me to watch. I'm so proud of you guys.
His reputation precedes him. I mean, and now maybe Seth's is now too, because Seth, we had him all pissed off the other night.
Yeah, so, understandably. Yeah. He was in the right.
All right, we'll go. Right. We'll be back. ESPN 680 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. We're in this together. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.